25 past 1 o'clock. A bit late, but we got there in the end. It's time now for Counterclockwise, and Spike Mountjoy joins us from the Scoop offices in Wellington. Hey, Spike.
Hey, Paul.
How are you?
I'm good, mate.
Excellent. Now, okay, so earlier in the week, Treasury Chief John Whitehead said the public sector needs to shape up or ship out, and since then, Bill English has pretty much backed up his calls, hasn't he?
Yeah, Bill English was this morning just saying that. Just back up a bit, Whitehead was suggesting that privatising public services, basically farming out more services to the private sector, would be a good way to increase productivity, which is, you know...
debatable.
An idea that's been around for a while and has been tried in different areas and to varying degrees of success. But interestingly, English Finance Minister Bill English said this morning that the aged care sector was a good example of this.
Oh, yeah.
Which is one of the parts of the health sector with the lowest wages and the worst working conditions.
Cool.
If that's where it's heading, then it might be a bit of a worry for people working in the public sector.
Yeah. I wondered about his speech. It kind of, you know, Chief Justice Sean Elias made that speech about, you know, rethinking the prison population and maybe giving amnesty to a certain proportion of the people who are in our prisons and just rethinking it, basically. And, and she got a big rap on the knuckles from the Justice Minister, Simon Powell, and said, stay out of government business. It's your place to, you know, go through with government policy, not to try and suggest how to set it. But that didn't happen this time around.
No, well, I think if the ideas are compatible with where you're at, maybe it's less objectionable. I mean, there have been other examples of high-up judges making comments. Youth Court Judge is a classic. He's constantly talking about, you know, policy suggestions and ideas and directions to move in, but less controversial.
So do you think, you know, that they'll follow through with the suggestions Mr. Whitehead made?
Well...
it certainly looks that way.
That's the direction they're heading, and it's just odd that, I mean, Whitehead would have checked his speech with the government beforehand. It's odd that they're getting the public service to lead this charge, you know. I mean, it should have been a speech that English made, really.
Yeah.
If they want to be upfront about, you know, and if he supports what he's saying, then they should be saying it themselves. They shouldn't be waiting for it to be said by other people.
Well, you know, if it's an unpopular thing that someone's going to say, you might as well get someone else to do it for you.
Seems to be a bit of a theme. Hyde's appointment to the Productivity Task Force.
Oh, yes. Don Brash. Task Force 2025.
So it's going to be made up of five people. Don Brash is chosen as the chair. The idea is to close the wage gap between New Zealand and Australia, which was the mantra in the lead-up to the election before last, by lifting productivity. Lifting productivity is, you know, across the board considered the best way to do it, really, which basically means GDP per capita.
Right,
you know?
Right. But it's interesting, though, that they, you know, as I put to Rodney Hyde earlier in the show, every, you know, ACT Party and the National Party, like you say, they campaigned really strongly on this. Why do they need a task force now to give them the ideas that they said they had at the time?
One step removed, I think, is the idea.
Right.
The idea with Whitehead, if, I mean, they can pick and choose the suggestions they like, but I suspect that a lot of it will be compatible with where they want to go.
But as Mr. Hyde pointed out, you know, they're not setting government policy, they're just making recommendations on it. So,
well, if you get enough people saying the same thing all at once, then that becomes, you know, the only option. I think that's part of the idea as well.
Yeah. Do you think he's the wrong person to do it?
He's an ideologue. I mean, there's no point in trying to put no finer point on it.
And but it's not his politics that got him the job, Ronnie told me. It's his integrity.
Yeah, but the people who are prepared to work with him are going to have to fall into a certain kind of... I mean, he would have been an okay member of the task force, but to choose him as the chair, it means... I mean, it seems to me, at least, that you have a set of ideas that you want and you find the people that will go and recommend them to you.
Yeah, there's been suggestions from, I can't remember who it was, that, you know, the other appointments to the task force will perhaps sort of balance out this Don Brash's political leanings. And I asked Rodney about it. He pretty much said no. In no uncertain terms.
That he wouldn't choose people to balance out the political leanings.
No. He said that's their political leanings are not what's important.
But the thing is, you throw someone like Rod Oram on there, who's an economist to the left, certainly to the left of Brash, and they're going to struggle to find common ground. You know, he's so far out there on his kind of purity of neoliberal economics that I really don't think we're going to get much more than that from the task force. But I guess we have to wait and see. And their first report back is in October with suggestions, and then annually from then.
Oh, okay. I thought that was it for them, the 3 months.
So. No, it's once a year is the idea. I guess they'll be... I mean, they're like a little ginger group, you know, almost inside government pushing, I suspect, is what it'll be, pushing this kind of particular agenda.
Yeah. TV3 put a note on their story on their website that, you know, we won't actually know until 2025 whether they've been successful, by which time, you know, Don Brash probably won't be around anymore.
He'll be in his 80s.
Yeah. Will he be in his 80s? Yeah,
okay. I think both TV channels took glee in pointing that out for some reason.
Yeah.
I think part of the idea is that if it's an annual report, then they can keep the government,
right,
hold them to account each year and check their progress. And we'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
And Ronnie Hines is usually pretty anti these kinds of task forces as well.
Yep, that's true.
Just when they've got the right people on it, they're all right.
Yeah, I think that's basically a fair summary of the situation.
Now, Scoops lowered the tone, hasn't it?
We've got real classy, like...
Tell us more.
Sex.scoop.co.nz.
The S-bomb.
Yeah, it's not porn. So if you're looking for that, it's the wrong place to come. But it's a sexologist and a nurse, a male nurse, who has set up a blog on Scoop about sex, which throws up a few problems for the staff here at Scoop. For instance, I struggled to find a picture to accompany a story headlined The Perfect Vagina.
Ah, what'd you settle on?
I fudged the issue and chose a different story in the end. I found a good stuffed puppet, but it was near the end of the day and I didn't have time to properly finish it. So,
like a crochet,
yeah,
vagina.
Yeah, a crocheted vagina. It was kind of like a sort of a couch. But their idea, where they're coming from, is that, you know, sex is everywhere, and pictures, writing, but we hardly ever kind of scratch below the surface. So it's not. It's talking about sex education as well as kind of, you know, classic sexologist stuff about the perfect orgasm and what have you.
Oh, hooray. Excellent. Sex.scoop.co.nz.
Correct.
Excellent, Spike. Hey, thanks for chatting with us this week, and we'll hear from you again pretty soon.
Always a pleasure, Paul.
You too. Take care, Matt.
See ya.
The Wire.